Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Feels good to be back to a normal schedule. Today is the first Friday episode, getting back into the old schedule that I've done in a good while. So on that note, with this Friday episode, I forgot I was going to be doing this. And so between this and the unplanned episode on Venezuela that I did the other day, basically the future episodes this next week were recorded before I recorded those two. And so I probably said something like, have a good weekend, because I thought it was going to be posted on Friday, but now it's going to be posted on like Tuesday or Monday or whatever. So just, yeah, ignore the days or whatever if I say something stupid or if I say today is Tuesday and today's Thursday or whatever. Okay. All right, moving on. Let's talk about this. So I am just going to go back to kind of everything from the past week or so. I'm not going to try and go back and cover everything from the last 6 weeks worth of Friday episodes that I've missed. That would be ludicrous. There have been plenty of advancements. You have probably kept up with them more or less from the news. And so today is just going to be more about kind of catching up on what happened this week in regards to collapse-related political events in the U.S. These Friday episodes are meant to talk about the increase in fascism, how they hasten collapse, and it never ceases to amaze me that there is so much to talk about each and every week. And, you know, these aren't little things. And even though sometimes week to week we might be giving updates on things, you know, that had started forever ago, really when you look back, the velocity at which changes are happening is really intense. And continuing at this trajectory could have severe consequences, not just in the United States, but globally, both in a perspective of just the individual well-being of people due to political oppression and those types of things, but also, of course, as it relates to the wider conversation of biodiversity loss, ecological destruction, rapidly increasing climate change, geopolitical tensions and wars, disease, all of the risk and contributing factors of collapse. All right, well, with that, let's dive in. We're first going to start off with mentioning a video that was on C-SPAN. If you're familiar with Tom Homan, he is referred to as Donald Trump's border czar. What does he actually do? I'm not really sure. But he made a comment this week, live on the air in an interview, and it's going to sound very reminiscent to an interview that was done a couple of months ago that we talked about here on a Friday episode, in which Stephen Miller said that Trump had plenary authority. We talked about that term, plenary, and how it basically means that Donald Trump has unchecked, unlimited authority. And of course, it was cut from the air. They did this whole thing where CNN didn't ask any questions about it, never addressed it. They just let Stephen Miller start over, but not before, you know, that went viral. Well, now you've got Tom Homan here, and here's a direct quote. He said, "President Trump doesn't have a limitation on his authority to make this country safe. There's no limitation." And then he abruptly ended the interview. But it's essentially now out in the open. They're not even trying to hide it. He didn't use the word plenary, I guess. But he described it, and he said Donald Trump has no limitation on his authority to make this country safe. There is no limitation. An article in The Mirror, U.S., talks about how Trump says the election should be canceled and warns that there will be, quote, constitutional movement. We've heard Donald Trump talk about canceling elections more and more frequently. He's made the joke now a couple of times, at least, in the presence of Zelensky, saying that, Zelensky was able to cancel his elections because there was a war, so therefore, I can do that as well. And they laugh and they think it's so funny. Well, this time it was made during a speech to House Republicans attending a private retreat at the Trump Kennedy Center. Can't believe we're calling it that. Where the Republican president boasted about his first year back in office and claimed his party would have massive success during the upcoming 2026 midterms, despite political analysts and polling suggesting otherwise. In the speech, he brought up the idea of canceling the election, though he states he knows the Constitution won't allow a third term, but continued to wonder out loud if he could run again. During the speech, which just so happened to coincide with the fifth anniversary of the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, he said that Democrats do not deserve to even compete in an election. He also dropped a bombshell confession about his health and even slammed his own team during a bizarre rant. So the direct quote says, "They say that when you win the presidency, you lose the midterm. I wish you could explain to me what the hell's going on with the mind of the public. We have the right to policy. Democrats don't. They had the worst policy. We have to even run against these people?" He then says, "I won't say cancel the election. They should cancel the election because the fake news will say he wants the election. The election's canceled. He's a dictator." Which to my response to that is, yes, if you were to say we should cancel the election, that the fake news or the news should say he wants to cancel the election, because that's literally what you said. And that would make you a dictator. Yes, sir. He also implied that he would be successful if he were allowed to run for a third term, but acknowledged that the Constitution would have to change before he could run again, adding, "There's going to be a constitutional movement." Trump previously made similar remarks about running again, but backtracked after fierce backlash to his disregard for the law. So yes, in my mind, there is absolutely no doubt that if he can do anything, that he will. If he can make an attempt to run for a third term, he will try. The only way he can be stopped is if those within his own party don't allow him to. The White House released a statement talking about withdrawing the United States from international organizations, conventions, and treaties that are contrary to the interest of the United States. And there is a lengthy list of organizations. We're talking about in the dozens of different organizations. I'm just going to read off a few random ones. The Regional Cooperation Council, the International Solar Alliance, the International Energy Forum, the International Institute for Justice and the Rule of Law, the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, the International Law Commission, the International Trade Center, Peacebuilding Commission, Peacebuilding Fund, the UN Democracy Fund, UN Oceans, UN Water, so on and so forth. I probably just read maybe a fifth of them, probably not even quite that much. Why is the White House removing the United States from these forums, from these conventions, and from these organizations? To me, it seems that they're simply trying to escape accountability. They don't want to have to answer for or stay true to any of those treaties that exist at this point. And it's an increase in isolationism, right? It's another big step towards simply saying, we don't care about any of you. We don't care about anything that tries to move things towards good. We just want to take care of ourselves, and we'll do whatever we have to get there. This type of thing, I don't know if this is damage that can be undone, right? Even if a Democrat wins the elections in 2028, is that going to change any of this? Can they simply come back and say, okay, we're suddenly going to reinstate ourselves back into these however many organizations, conventions, and treaties? Will those organizations want us back? Will our allies, or at least our former allies, trust us in any way, knowing that we could elect another madman in any short number of years? Moving on, another update from a story that we had talked about previously in reference to Senator Mark Kelly. He was one of the senators in the video in which they called out the Trump administration and told military members that they should not obey illegal orders. Hegseth and others threw a fit about this, formalized an investigation, and now the Pentagon is saying that they are going to cut Senator Mark Kelly's military retirement and pension over the seditious video. I saw Mark Kelly on The Daily Show the other day. He was being interviewed by Jon Stewart, and it was amazing. He's just such a upbeat guy despite the challenges he's facing. And I particularly love his attitude in essentially saying, we're not backing down. I am going to continue fighting for the people. This next article, just breezing over this kind of quickly, is Donald Trump saying how he is nervous that if the GOP doesn't keep Congress, that he will be impeached. I don't know if he is actually nervous about that because he's already been impeached twice and it meant nothing. You know, if this is kind of a scare tactic to just really try and inspire his base, his followers, to get some momentum going into the midterms. He's certainly done numerous impeachable offenses at this point. It's just whether or not anybody will actually bring that case against him, if it will be voted on, and if it matters, if there's any consequences of that at all. Quick note on the Epstein files, right? They've been slowly released week by week since the 19th of December, heavily redacted, not a lot of information that can be gleaned from them in any way. But according to MTN, this Midas News, Department of Justice violates Epstein files law by failing to inform Congress of reasons behind the redactions. And this was something we had talked about as we were leading up to the release, because we knew there was going to be redactions. But the law specifically stated, the law that Donald Trump signed and that Congress almost unanimously voted in, that if there were redactions, they had to be able to answer for the reasons behind each and every one of those redactions. Justice Department has now blown through another deadline. I'll post a link to this next one. It's just a video. Her name is Jessica Plitka, I believe is maybe how you pronounce that. A 22-year-old anti-war protester who was arrested live on camera in Grand Rapids, Michigan on January 3rd. She was speaking to a local news outlet about her opposition to U.S. military action related to Venezuela when police detained her while the broadcast was still ongoing. And you can see that she is quite shocked. All she's doing is sitting there talking to the camera. The police come up and they arrest her. Supposedly, the agents that arrested her did not know that the camera was still rolling. It's very unclear what she's being arrested for. She's on a public sidewalk talking to, you know, a news crew who is also on the public sidewalk. She's having to say out loud, "I'm not resisting." It's unclear if she's saying that in response to the officers telling her to stop resisting, but she's literally just standing there with her hands behind her head. And this was the Grand Rapids Police Department, not ICE, that carried out the arrest. Well, you've likely heard about the shooting in Minneapolis this week. This is still pretty breaking. This happened just yesterday, at the time of this recording. A woman was shot by ICE officers as she attempted to drive away. You can see if you watch the videos, most of the videos that people are showing are cut, so you're only seeing the moment of the shooting. If you look, there was a slow motion video that was posted of about 20 seconds before the shooting, and it shows her waving the officers to move past her. She was yielding to them, allowing some of the other ICE vehicles to drive around her. We don't have much context as to what happened leading up to this, why her car was in the position that it was, what was her involvement beforehand. We don't really know. But from what we can see, she waves the officers on when, instead of going around her, several officers approach her vehicle, attempt to open the doors, and she moves to either get out of the way, or she's freaked out because all of these ICE officers are running at her. Don't really know. But as she drives away, they shoot her 3 times in the face, killing her. It's being reported that ICE is blocking, or the FBI is blocking, state officials from evidence in the case. They're not allowing them to see any of the information. There has been strong condemnation from both the mayor, Jacob Frey, or Frey, I'm not actually sure how it's spelled, Ro Khanna, Congress member, and the governor, Tim Walz. Ro Khanna says that ICE agents need to be arrested. He needs to be prosecuted, being the shooter. He needs to be put on trial. He, being a man who Donald Trump said was being rammed by this woman in her car, he states that she ran over him and that he had to be taken to the hospital. Videos show that is not the case at all. He shot once through the windshield, it looks like, and another time or two through the passenger side. And he's seen clearly walking around afterwards, asking people to call 911 and yelling at people to get out of the way before leaving the scene. Uninjured, completely fine and calm. Yet Donald Trump and Kristi Noem make up these terrible lies about what happened at the scene. Jacob Frey says, "To ICE, get the F out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you're doing exactly the opposite." And the governor, Tim Walz, responded by saying that he was very upset, that he also wanted them to leave. There was no reason for them to be there. He said, "We do not want your help." And he also stated that he put an emergency notice, essentially, to the National Guard to be prepared to be called up in the event that they are needed. This would be the Minnesota National Guard that Tim Walz would supposedly use. I don't know if it would be to protect people or to help control potential riots, or if it would be to take a stand against ICE. He is not clear on that. But it would mark a potential, you know, escalation if that were to happen. So the reason I bring all this up and spend some time on it is because, obviously, A, it shows that ICE is accelerating their violence against citizens. They are finding every excuse to create hostility, to act in violence, to harm people, immigrants or not. And the Trump administration is willing to cover and lie for them to allow them to carry out these actions. And two, in so doing, it is creating a escalation, if you will, in the tensions. It's obvious that Trump is trying this in multiple different cities to see who he can get to bite. It feels as if he's trying to create some mass drama around which he can invoke the Insurrection Act and make a big show of using the military against, you know, rioters or against the local governments, and to make an example out of somebody. To this point, it's luckily been quashed, right? He's pulled them out of DC or out of Portland or out of Los Angeles. But as he continues to try, there is no telling if or when the escalation may take place and he gets what he wants. At the same time, for citizens, it's extremely frustrating to see him get away with it time and time again. It's frustrating to watch people being killed in the streets, citizens being detained, and immigrants being detained, mistreated, abused, harassed, harmed, etc. And to know that there's not really anything to do about it, because if you do, you fall into Donald Trump's trap, essentially. So this will be something to continue to watch, especially as we get closer to the midterms here in several short months. All right, quick note now to end this on some of the international tensions that are ramping up. Obviously, we've got everything with the Venezuela, though I'm not going to touch on here too much because I already did an episode on that, and I've got another one coming out early next week. But there are broader ramifications and potential escalations that are in place right now. So one article from the BBC talks about that this week the U.S. is supposed to discuss with Denmark the whole Greenland situation. It's not really known exactly what angle Denmark is going to come at this from. Is it going to be a hard line, Mr. President, we are not going to do any further business with you in Greenland. We are going to remove your military bases from here. You're no longer invited. That would be one thing, and I don't think that will happen. Or are they going to go completely the other direction and cave and say, make some sort of deal? And that may be the more realistic outcome here, is that Trump is posturing and saying that they will take Greenland by military force if needed. And to avoid that, there may be some sort of agreement made, some sort of new security policy put in place that gives the United States greater access to Greenland. That's what, in my friend group, that's what my friend Johnny thinks is going to happen. And in the end, I think it really does come down to what the Denmark leadership chooses to do, how they choose to approach this. Do you force the Trump administration's hand and say, we are not going to negotiate at all on this? You're being a bully and we're not interested. And in that way, force him to act militarily, to essentially cross that line and say, if you're going to be this way, then do it. And the world will just face the consequences of that, and the U.S. will face the consequences of that. Or do they let the U.S. bully them into giving up certain things, giving the U.S. better access? That way, Trump can walk away from it, saving face, getting what he wants in some degree from Greenland, and also being able to make fun of the weakness of European leaders. And Europe gets to walk away with it, with NATO intact and not having completely broken ties or spurned an ally. Anyway, there's a lot to speculate on there, and that will be something that we will pay close attention to this week and talk about again as we have updates. Other countries are on the edge and nervous. There's an article in a paper called The Financial Post, which talks about Cubans are scared and nervous after U.S. attack on Venezuela destroys morale. It says Cubans are on high alert and the streets are under heavy guard, bracing for what comes next as officials mourn the 32 members of its security services killed in the United States operation to arrest Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. I didn't know this beforehand, but Havana, it says, for years has provided bodyguards, operatives, and analysts to protect the president of Venezuela, working like a parallel secret service and bolstering intelligence operations. In exchange, Venezuela has been sending heavily discounted fuel, some of it used to generate electricity that supplies about a third of the island's needs. So when you have a third of the island being sent oil by Venezuela, oil which the U.S. is now attempting to completely control, yeah, that spells disaster for Cuba, especially when the U.S. is now threatening Cuba as well. The U.S. already has assets in the Caribbean. It would not take much to shift them into a posture, to be able to attack or otherwise destabilize Cuba and its leadership. The U.S. has made it very clear that they are following the Monroe Doctrine, which Donald Trump has called the Donroe Doctrine, in which they essentially believe that the Western Hemisphere belongs to the U.S. and that they will do whatever it takes to control it. No doubt we live in interesting times. We're living through some major geopolitical shifts. And I guess at the very least, you can't describe the current decade as boring. Thank you for being here. I can now officially say have a good weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.